KXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Republicans pushed through President Trump's massive tax and spending bill.
USA! USA! USA!
CBS's Erica Brown.
The legislation significantly boosts spending for border security, immigration enforcement, and defense. It also extends Trump's 2017 tax cuts, increases the child tax credit, and ends taxes on tips and overtime pay.
President Trump will sign the legislation tomorrow. Millions of Americans are traveling to their July 4th destinations. The airports are crowded. There could be delays in the Northeast due to weather, but there's good news for those who are driving. From CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
On average, gas is about 33 cents a gallon cheaper than it was this time last year. So drivers are, generally speaking, being treated to a bit of a deal compared to their 4th of July road trip last year.
On Wall Street, stocks finished higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Attorney General Josh Call says the Wisconsin Supreme Court's ruling on the state's abortion law leaves room for action by the state legislature. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The court ruled Wednesday on a suit originally brought by Call and Governor Tony Evers regarding Wisconsin's 1849 law, which criminalized most abortions. Justices ruled that the 1849 law has been superseded by several other state laws and by a previous ruling from the court that the law only applied to assault, which resulted in death of an unborn child, not elective abortions. Conservative Justice Annette Ziegler wrote in the dissent that the court's four liberal justices are compromised on the issue of abortion, calling their analysis flawed. In the majority opinion, Justice Jill Karofsky said state lawmakers are free to pass legislation modifying the court's ruling. Speaking at a Wednesday press conference, Call said, quote, "We can do better through state legislation and establishing protections for continuing access to safe and legal abortion and ensuring that our laws are updated."
The DNR is joining law enforcement authorities for the annual Operation Dry Water campaign this 4th of July weekend. The campaign seeks to prevent boaters from operating while impaired. Lisa Hale has more important information for boaters.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to boat responsibly if they plan to get out on the water for the holiday weekend. According to a press release, the four leading causes of watercraft crashes are inexperience, not paying enough attention, general recklessness, and speeding.
Even if you know how to swim, you should always wear your life jacket. Officials encourage you to drive sober and stay safe this holiday. I'm Melissa Kay, filling in for Brittany Merlot on WXCO.
The Bucks release another player. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Bucks have waived backup center Chris Livingston after just 2 years with the team. Livingston, drafted by the Bucks in 2023 and was the highest paid player taken in the second round of the NBA draft. The move seen as a way for the team to get under the salary cap. Baseball, the Brewers face the Mets tonight in New York with a series win on the line. Last night, the crew lost to the Mets 7-3 after rookie Jacob Mizorowski gave up a grand slam in the second inning. Manager Pat Murphy.
He learned his lesson. He's ticked about it. Even some of his sequencing he's ticked about. He's just really in a good spot in that, darn it, why did this happen? You know what I mean? Like, I could have. And it's like, he can see it. There's just a really fine line between being dominant and being just okay. And, I'm certain he'll learn from it.
The Brewers won game one of yesterday's doubleheader, 7-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm possible tonight, otherwise partly cloudy, warm and muggy with lows in the mid-60s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid for tomorrow, highs within a few degrees of 90. Showers and storms possible tomorrow night and Saturday, high mid-80s.
We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, happy 4th of July. We have a specially curated Matinair on air for you, but Free Ticket Fridays is happening. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think it speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Actually, no Maggie Dawn. I'm Matt Rothschild. Maggie's on vacation today. But I'm delighted to be on the air with the Civic Media Radio Network and with you. You can join our conversation by phone or by text by calling 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You know the 855. It's 752-4842. Text or call. Use the app. If you don't have the app, you should get it already. I'm an old tech dinosaur, but even I have the app now. And even I text into shows occasionally, Peach Wabas especially, and sometimes I do also on Todd's show or Jane's show. So, and Maggie's show, I just texted in the other day because she had read a poem by Adrienne Rich. And I love poetry, as anyone who has heard me on the Civic Media Radio Network knows, or anyone who worked with me knows. And I used to be the editor at the Progressive Magazine. We'd have a poetry page, and we published Adrienne Rich there a couple times. And I actually had the luxury of interviewing Adrienne Rich in California at her home once. And when Maggie read that poem, that made me hustle to my bookshelf and take down a copy of one of Adrienne Rich's books called An Atlas of the Difficult World. And there's one poem in here, title poem. It's very long. I'm just going to read a tiny little bit of it because it's so apropos here on the July 4th weekend. Flags are blossoming now where little else is blossoming. And I am bent on fathoming what it means to love my country. A patriot is not a weapon. A patriot is one who wrestles for the soul of her country as she wrestles for her own being. A patriot is a citizen trying to wake from the burnt-out dream of innocence, trying to remember her true country, remember his suffering land, to remember that blessing and cursing are born as twins and separated at birth to meet again in mourning, that's mourning with a U, that the internal emigrant is the most homesick of all women and of all men, that every flag that flies today is a cry of pain. Where are we moored, she asks. What are the bindings? What behooves us? That's Adrienne Rich, An Atlas of the Difficult World. A patriot is not a weapon. A patriot is one who wrestles for the soul of her country. I think we're all wrestling for the soul of our country right now. It's such a hard time for us who believe in the principles of our founding, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, checks and balances, civil liberties, civil rights, the Bill of Rights, who sit in horror at what the Donald Trump administration is doing to immigrants in this country and how that's such a violation of our values, the values at the Statue of Liberty, the values in our founding documents, the values of our ideals. I also want to share with you a quote from Martin Luther King, which I aired here on this program just 2 days ago. It's from his speech the day before he was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. It's an early part of that speech that you don't hear all the time, or very much, actually, because most media folks want to go to the really poignant part at the end where he talks about, I've been to the mountaintop, I might not get there with you, longevity has its values, but I'm not afraid of any man, and of course the next day he's assassinated. But this first part of his speech speaks to what's best about this country, speaks to the necessity of protest, which we heard echoed in Hakeem Jeffries and that Robert Craig and I were just talking about. But let's hear Martin Luther King.
What you say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights.
That's Martin Luther King the night before he died. What is the greatness of America to you? I want to hear from you. The phone number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You know, what I love about this country is the First Amendment there that Martin Luther King talks about. I love the idea that we can search for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, I love the beauty of this country, the physical beauty of this country. Everyone knows I'm a bird watcher, too. And I love the attitude, the individual attitude that we're not going to be bossed around by anybody, the kind of smart aleck attitude that's imbued in Americans. I love that. I'm one of those folks, even though my father told me over and over again, the world doesn't need another one. But, you know, that's part of the American spirit that I admire. But we are seeing things that are at the cornerstones of our democracy that are being ripped apart by Donald Trump. And we can't normalize it. We can't whisk it under the rug. We can't expect that it will be solved on its own, that a pendulum automatically will move back in our direction. We got to give that pendulum a big shove in the progressive direction because it's going off its axles right now in the opposite direction. And Donald Trump and his folks around him, and who are those folks? They are opportunists. They are sycophants. Some of them, like Stephen Miller and Bannon, are fascists themselves. And this is a group that has no respect for our democracy. That's what we've learned in these first, what, 5.5 months of Trump's administration? I mean, it's going to be a long 3.5 more years, my friends. But we need to recognize what we're up against. And what we are up against is a kind of a fascist government. You know, I've been reluctant to use the F word in public for all 40 years that I've been a journalist or an executive director and speaking in public. But when Trump came on the scene, even the first time coming down that escalator, demonizing immigrants from south of the border, I knew we had something more dangerous here than just your house and garden variety Republican who wants to give tax breaks to the wealthy and to the corporations, which we saw part of today. I mean, that is just bread and butter Republicanism. But this hyper-nationalism of Donald Trump, this make America great, this appeal to a bereaved or beleaguered patriotism is an element of fascism. And so it's July 4th weekend. Patriotism is a mixed blessing. I have difficulty with patriotism because I recognize from my studies of history, especially of the 20th century, that patriotism can molt too quickly into its kind of toxic cousin of nationalism or hyper-nationalism. And that hyper-nationalism in a country as powerful as ours can do great damage to people overseas and to people here. I mean, Donald Trump has no respect for anyone who disagrees with him. He calls the media the enemy of the people. That was a line straight out of Adolf Hitler. And so he's rounding up anyone who is not a U.S. citizen. He is even his forces, his own little militia forces with ICE, are taking people who, just by the color of their skin, there was a woman who was, I think, selling flowers in L.A. who was a Latina U.S. citizen, was just grabbed by ICE. This is the country we're living in, and it reminds us of the haunting poem that I just read from Adrian Rich. What does it mean to love our country at a time like this? And loving our country must mean at a time like this that we got to protest, that we can't take this sitting down, that we need to have more of those no kings protests, and that we need to talk to our neighbors, not scold our neighbors, not scream at our neighbors if they don't agree with us, but try to engage in conversation with them and appeal to the high values of the United States, which is what Todd Albaugh does so well on his show here, and talk about the greatness of this country, not our military, not our nuclear weapons, not our ability to be a bully on the global stage, which is Donald Trump's idea of our greatness, but the greatness of our founding documents, the greatness of the Bill of Rights, the greatness of the First Amendment, the greatness of the Fourth Amendment, of the 14th Amendment. These grant equal rights, equality rights to people. All people are created equal. That's in our founding document, but it's also in the Fifth Amendment. It's also in the 14th Amendment, and that's why those amendments are so crucial. And the Fourth Amendment, the right to privacy, is so crucial, especially as you see privacy rights under attack, as you see the right to an abortion under attack, not only by our U.S. Supreme Court, which we're going to talk with Jim Santel about, who's caught in traffic right now, but also a whole slew of other issues. We need to uphold the values of America that represent equality and liberty for all Americans, and not just our ability to impose our will on foreign countries or on people in this country who are scapegoated. You know, scapegoating is a fundamental element of fascism, too. Obviously, you saw it with Hitler and the Jews in World War II in Nazi Germany. And so we need to recognize these characteristics of fascism that are before us, the attack on the media, the attack on the courts, the attack on lawyers, the attack on universities. These are all straight out of the strongman playbook. And I want listeners to pick up a book by Ruth Ben-Ghiat, who wrote a book called Strongmen. And she has a Substack called Lucid that you should look at, too, because she is tracking the elements of fascism that Donald Trump and his administration are manifesting every day. And so we need to study. We need to organize. We need to join organizations like Citizen Action. You need to keep listening to Civic Media Radio Network, too. And I'll be right back with more discussion of Trump and fascism, and with Jim Santel whenever he arrives. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinair on Air.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie, who's taken her vacation a day early, as any sensible person would. We're talking about patriotism at this difficult time for our country, given what we just saw happen in D.C. today, and given the horrors that Donald Trump has been perpetrating on immigrants, on our media, on our universities, and the courts. You can join the conversation by phone or by text by calling 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Gary and Madison text in, when talking about Trump, you must include the whole GOP. They're a major part of what happens. Of course, Gary is right. But I wanted to add a amendment to his comment, and that is, it's not the whole GOP, it's the elected GOP in Congress, I would say. It's the GOP here in Wisconsin, the elected officials. But I would never say all Republicans. And I think generalizations like that are not only inaccurate, but not productive and not politically useful at all. Because I know a lot of Republicans who may have voted for Trump, but they did so not because they're horrible people, but because they didn't like Biden. They didn't like Biden's economic policy. They thought Trump was going to give them a tax break or whatever. You know, I don't think it was a moral thing to do, but they're not at bottom immoral people. And I think we make a mistake by painting with a whole brush all members of the Republican Party or all people who voted for Trump. So that is my only caveat there. We have a text from Tom from Jackson says, "Hey, Matt, any chance of hearing a songbird called the Peewee as you head out today?" Well, I've got a different songbird for you, though I do like the Eastern Peewee and the Phoebe, too, which is its relative. These are tiny little flycatchers for those of you who aren't in birdland. But the song that I brought today, and Tom has heard me before because he knows I always bring a bird song on to civic media. We have the song of a very humble bird, the house wren. But it's a beautiful song. So, Jacob, if you've got that queued up, well, please play that for us. So that's the house wren. That's the bird that might be waking you up at 4:30 or 4:45 in the morning. I have them in my yard. They've just had babies. They're flying around all over the place. Even I saw one come to the suet the other day. But I do love the song of the, you know, plain, tiny, brown, drab house wren. Not a beautiful bird, but it's got a beautiful song. And maybe there's a lesson in there for all of us. I before the break, was talking about Trump and fascism, and Jacob, our great producer, reminded me that an element of fascism is expansionism. And, of course, you know, Trump is an expansionist. Look, he's been talking about Canada. He's been talking about Greenland. You know, he's willing, as prior presidents have been, too, unlawfully, to drop a bomb on another country without a declaration of Congress or even consulting Congress. So that's a militarism, another element of fascism there. And there's tremendous increase in the budget signed today or passed today for an increase in spending on the Pentagon and a huge increase spending on ICE. We've just got a couple minutes left in this segment. I want to read something controversial. It was a piece by Howard Zinn, who wrote this when I was editor at The Progressive in 2006. It's called "Put Away Your Flags." On this July 4th, we would do well to renounce nationalism and all its symbols, its flags, its pledges of allegiance, its anthems, its insistence in song that God must single out America to be blessed. Is not nationalism, asks Zinn, that devotion to a flag, an anthem, a boundary, so fierce that it engenders mass murder, one of the great evils of our time, along with racism, along with religious hatred? These ways of thinking, cultivated, nurtured, indoctrinated from childhood on, have been useful to those in power and deadly for those out of power, wrote Zinn. And he continues, national spirit can be benign in a country that's small and lacking both in military power and a hunger for expansion. And he mentioned Switzerland, Norway, Costa Rica. But in a nation like ours, huge, possessing thousands of weapons of mass destruction, what might have been harmless pride becomes an arrogant nationalism dangerous to others and to ourselves. He goes on. Our citizenry has been brought up to see our nation as different from others, as an exception in the world, uniquely moral, expanding into other lands in order to bring civilization, liberty, democracy. That self-deception started early, he says. And he concludes, we need to refute the idea that our nation is different from, morally superior to, the other imperial powers of world history. Howard Zinn's last sentence here, we need to assert our allegiance to the human race, and not to any one nation. That was Howard Zinn, the author of People's History of the United States, writing in The Progressive in 2006, a little column called Put Away Your Flags. I remember it provoked a lot of controversy. It speaks to the ambivalence I have on any July 4th, but especially this July 4th, with all that Donald Trump has been doing to our country. And I want to hear from you after the break about how you're wrestling this weekend with July 4th and what it means to be an American, what it means to be a patriot, what it means to be a citizen. The number to call or to text, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie on the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Attorney General Josh Call says the Wisconsin Supreme Court's ruling on the state's abortion law leaves room for action by the state legislature. Joanne Krulotz has more.
The court ruled Wednesday on a suit originally brought by Call and Governor Tony Evers regarding Wisconsin's 1849 law, which criminalized most abortions. Justices ruled that the 1849 law has been superseded by several other state laws and by a previous ruling from the court that the law only applied to assault, which resulted in death of an unborn child, not elective abortions. Conservative Justice Annette Ziegler wrote in the dissent that the court's four liberal justices are compromised on the issue of abortion, calling their analysis flawed. In the majority opinion, Justice Jill Karofsky said state lawmakers are free to pass legislation modifying the court's ruling. Speaking at a Wednesday press conference, Call said, quote, "We can do better through state legislation and establishing protections for continuing access to safe and legal abortion and ensuring that our laws are updated."
The DNR is joining law enforcement authorities for the annual Operation Dry Water campaign this 4th of July weekend. The campaign seeks to prevent boaters from operating while impaired. Lisa Hale has more important information for boaters.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to boat responsibly if they plan to get out on the water for the holiday weekend. According to a press release, the four leading causes of watercraft crashes are inexperience, not paying enough attention, general recklessness, and speeding.
Even if you know how to swim, you should always wear your life jacket. Officials encourage you to drive sober and stay safe this holiday. I'm Melissa Kay, filling in for Brittany Merlot on WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Devil Wears Prada is coming back, but not every cast member will return. The production started last week on Prada 2. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are all back. Adrian Grenier, however, will not be back as Nate Cooper in the sequel. He played Anne Hathaway's love interest and a short order cook in the first film. Grenier's claim to fame is, of course, the show Entourage, but he has not done much since. In other casting news, actor Kenneth Branagh will join the production as Meryl Streep's character, Miranda Priestley's husband. There's a new action comedy that might be worth a look. Heads of State tells the story of the UK Prime Minister, played by Idris Elba, and the United States President, played by John Cena, which seems more realistic than it's ever been. The two characters butt heads but have to team up to overthrow a global plot that threatens freedom. The film is receiving a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 85% audience score and can be streamed on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm possible tonight, otherwise partly cloudy, warm, and muggy with lows in the mid-60s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid for tomorrow, highs within a few degrees of 90. Showers and storms possible tomorrow night and Saturday, high mid-80s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a special Independence Day edition of the show featuring some of our tours around what makes Wisconsin great and free brewer tickets to give away. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie today, who's starting her July 4th weekend early, and I don't blame her one bit for that. You can join our conversation by phone or by text by calling 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Happy to get your calls or texts about the budget that Evers signed in the wee hours of the morning or the budget in Washington, D.C. that just passed today, that big, horrible bill. Or what we've been talking about over the last half hour, which is patriotism today on this July 4th weekend. How are you wrestling for the soul of our country, as the poet Adrian Rich put it? What is your level of ambivalence on this July 4th weekend? Love to hear from you and join us in that conversation. Meantime, Tom from Jackson on the bird front reporting a Carolina wren, which is a big wren. You might think that's a contradiction in terms, but as far as wrens go, it's kind of a big wren, and it's got an even more powerful sound than the little humble house wren. Carolina wrens, as the name implies, usually a wren of southern Wisconsin. Of the southern United States, but comes into southern Wisconsin occasionally. I actually had a Carolina wren at my home just south of Madison 10 years ago when we moved in, and it was wintertime, actually, even more surprising. And I kept a little Carolina wren alive that cold winter, feeding it peanuts and live mealworms and suet. And so I think we've got the beautiful sound of the Carolina wren, courtesy of Jacob and Cornell University. Jacob, if you'd play that, that'd be great. It is that loud, too, when you hear it. That's the very loud broadcast of the Carolina wren. And now I've got happy news that Jim Santel has arrived safely in our studios in Racine. I'm at the Madison headquarters. He had a difficult drive out there, it seems. How are you doing, Jim?
Matt, I'm doing well. I cannot compete with the wren. I cannot compete with the wren, but I'll make it an effort. And I apologize to you and your listeners for being so delayed, but I suppose it's a good thing on an eve of our 249th anniversary that Americans are on the move and presumably going to visit with friends and family places in Wisconsin and beyond. So, again, delighted to be with you, my friend.
Oh, it's great to have you. For those of you who don't know, Jim Santel's a former federal prosecutor. His contributions to the Civic Media Radio Network are invaluable. His own hugely informative show, Amicus Alaraview, is live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Then it's rebroadcast on Sundays from 2 to 4. He's also a frequent co-host with Maggie on this great Maggie Dawn show, prize-winning Maggie Dawn show, on alternating Tuesdays and Fridays. He's on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every Friday morning. He's on the John and Gordy show every Thursday morning, and Matt and Air on Air every Thursday morning a little bit after that. So they're making the most of you, Jim, here at Civic Media Radio.
And delighted to finish up my week with you and on this wonderful broadcast. Good to be with you again, Matt.
Well, Thanks again. Let's start with the good news.
Yes.
And the good news was the abortion decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Lord knows we need good news. It wasn't exactly a surprise, but it was welcome nonetheless. Tell us about that decision.
Absolutely. This goes back, again, obviously, to many years of litigation, the wake of the Dobbs decision, which rescinded Roe versus Wade, 49 years of Privacy Act and privacy rights under the Constitution, comes back to Wisconsin. And a 150-year-old law here in the state of Wisconsin that forbade abortion. And the question was, in the wake of the rescission of federal privacy rights to abortion, what happens in Wisconsin? And again, a lot of litigation going up and down through the trial courts and the appellate courts, and eventually it reaches our Supreme Court, whereby a divided majority of the Supreme Court finds, at the pen of Associate Justice Rebecca Dallet, that the 1849 law no longer can apply, and for that reason, abortion is once again legal in Wisconsin. The predicates for that, of course, is she and the other justices look at the history and see all kinds of things have happened since the time of that legislation way back when, and she talks in particular about describing the who, what, where, when, why, and how of abortion, and says, you know, if a legislature makes all these decisions about how a particular right can be executed and exercised in this state, plainly the right exists, and that's the upshot of what they found.
Yeah, it was a welcome ruling. You know, I'd wish the Democrats, when they had power, had wiped that law off the books so there couldn't be any ambiguity whatsoever. And I also was a little surprised that the justices didn't deal with the question as to whether the 1849 law actually banned abortion, because that was one of the other arguments that Attorney General Josh Call and Governor Evers brought to the court. I thought it was an interesting argument, I thought that they might have prevailed that way, but they kind of decided we don't even need to deal with that one because we got this other one.
Don't need to get to that. And there's a good and compelling, not just a novel argument, that by its very nature, by its very language, that old law does not prohibit. And that's what one of the lower courts found as well. And again, the result is the result, and that's what we embrace. And frankly, on behalf of privacy rights and constitutional rights here in Wisconsin, in the wake of the 2022 Dobbs decision, it is a reaffirmation here in Wisconsin that right exists, and we're back in that position where not only privacy rights are affirmed, but also the rights of women, and I would offer men as well, to make decisions about things that are important to their families. That is reaffirmed as well.
Yeah, that was the good news. The bad news was the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes.
The term just ended, obviously. To me, the most distressing decision was the one on birthright citizenship.
Yes.
Can you explain their decision, why they made it kind of surprising that Comey Barrett was the author
of it? Yes, right.
Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. So this one, again, we thought it was going to be all about birthright citizenship, this notion that somehow under the 14th Amendment, again, even though the Supreme Court has many years ago affirmed that indeed if you're born in this country, you are in fact a citizen of the United States of America. The president on his first day in office executes this executive order, says, nope, that's not what it means. If in fact you're the born of a mother who is illegally here or temporarily here, you're not subject to the jurisdiction of the country, and therefore you don't get citizenship. A stunning position, and people of all political ilks looked at that and said, no, that's ridiculous, and that's not the way that the amendment has ever been construed. Supreme Court takes this up and, interestingly, doesn't decide that issue and says instead that, again, that's an important point that people should know, that the executive order has not been affirmed. It hasn't been rejected, and they expressly say that, but go on to talk about this notion of universal or national injunctions. And that's, again, I think, Matt, that's the surprise of all of this, that Amy Coney Barrett, who at the time of the oral argument seemed to be moving toward a kind of a rule or some sort of a standard in between, where you'd say, okay, sometimes there are those fundamental constitutional rights where one judge, one federal judge, can in fact impose an order upon all of us. Maybe there's some other things that are more regional, more local in nature. Those should not be a part of this. But she doesn't do that. Amy Coney Barrett, as you said, is identified by the Chief Justice as the author of this opinion. And she writes a definitive piece, and she basically looks back to history, and she says there's no predicate for these national injunctions, and for that reason they cannot stand. It is a stunning, stunning piece of writing by her, by the majority. And as you say, Matt, I think it is, I'm not alone in this, it is the most significant opinion of this term. It also stands as a bookend to what we observed just earlier this week, which is a year ago, the Supreme Court said presidents are immune from prosecution for many things committed in their offices and have to be muscular and strong and quick and deaf and do all these kinds of very active things. The bookend to that happened a week ago, in which the Supreme Court said, for the most part, federal district courts cannot respond to plainly unconstitutional things that this president does by issuing national injunctions, stopping them across the board. We got to do this piecemeal, they said. You got to go into federal district courts in particular areas, have to vindicate individual rights. Maybe you can do a class action, but it really does give a whole lot more power to the breadth and the strength of what this president and other presidents may do down the road. It is a change, once again, in how we have understood our Constitution, certainly a change in the way in which we have responded to things that our government does that we feel strongly are illegal and unconstitutional. That's the stunning part of it.
Yeah, it's Jim Santel. It's, those two rulings combined, those bookends, as you put it, those are just giving a huge green light to Donald Trump and his administration just to go any speed limit they want,
right,
as fast as they want, to assault our constitutional rights. And this one is such a, as Justice Sotomayor said in her brilliant dissent, it's such a flagrant violation, facial violation, yes, of the 14th Amendment, that you would have thought that the justices, especially Coney Barrett, who seems reasonable,
right,
compared to the other conservatives there, would have just been aghast at someone saying, the Constitution says X and we're going to say it says negative X, that she would have gone along with this. And it is so alarming, the green light that the Supreme Court, and I blame Chief Justice Roberts, yes, above all. He wrote the immunity case decision, and he has power over some of his colleagues, I imagine, not all of them, but some of his conservative colleagues. It's a terrible legacy that he's carved out for himself, starting with Citizens United and ending with these two terrible,
right,
ones.
And as
the Dobbs decision,
right,
thrown in on top of it.
Absolutely.
So it's
all
just been
this,
a disaster.
Yeah. Right, right. And again, how wonderful it would be, Matt, my friend, if we'd go into Independence Day and say, you know what, at least this ridiculous notion that the 14th Amendment doesn't mean what it says and says what it means, that's been put to rest. And yes, bottom line, if you're born in this country, you are a citizen. Supreme Court not only did not answer that, but as you just very accurately and articulately just codified, it gave us more confusion about how we go and vindicate that right and other rights. Sonia Sotomayor, in her very good dissent, as you just said, identifies other prospects for, a future president who does plainly unconstitutional things in an opposite direction. Maybe, rescinding rights to own firearms or practice your religion as you like, things that are plainly unconstitutional. Now you've got to go into your local federal district court and stop it as to you and maybe a smaller group. In the meantime, everybody else still subject to an unconstitutional executive order of any president in the future. That's the continuing horrific legacy. And that's why we're going into the 249th anniversary of our nation.
How does that make you feel on this July 4th weekend, Jim?
Right, right. It is sobering. It is very, very sobering. We'd like to think that there are justices, there are Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson, who are indeed articulating the opposite view. Every so often, the positive thing here is every so often, one of those dissents becomes the majority years down the road. We'll hope for that.
Yeah, and we'll be right back with Jim Santel here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got another case to discuss. Mm. Please stay tuned.
Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready, Wausau. The 8th Annual Mun Wausau Festival is back, July 26th and 27th at the People's Sports Complex. It's fun for the whole family. Enjoy thrilling sports tournaments, vibrant dancing and singing competitions, and mouthwatering cuisine you won't forget. It's one of the largest Mun festivals in the Midwest, and you're invited. Tickets are just $11 at the door. Kids under 10 and seniors over 65 get in free. Don't miss the celebration of culture, community, and tradition. See you there.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee, on June 7th, presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's Independence Resolution word for word. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hey, we're back on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie, who's out today. I've been joined by Jim Santel. I'm grateful for that. We're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court term that just ended. One of the cases that was also very troubling was this case about religious freedom, really about whether students in public schools can be excused from classes where issues or books about LGBT people if they can just be excused from those classes on religious grounds. And the court said yes. And so it makes me wonder, well, what is the logical extension of that? Can they take their kids out of biology class when they're teaching about Darwin and evolution?
And one of the dissenters, again, Sonia Sotomayor, plainly has a lot to say about all these issues, raises that very prospect. Says, what if you've got a parent, parents, plural, who come along and say, you know what, my religion tells me that women should not be in the workforce, that they should remain home, for example, and be raising families and cooking and doing all those things. That's what my faith tells me. And for that reason, if you're advocating for anything related to women's employment, women in the society generally, I don't want my child exposed to that. Where many, many examples like that, you give with due respect. Again, this is not a rescinding parental rights to be involved in their children's education. What it does do, as Sonia Sotomayor says as well, it's substituting for the thoughtful and the work of the teachers and the school boards and people who know how to teach. It's substituting that with decisions that are religious-based, that are otherwise not premised upon academics. Sonia Sotomayor also says, you know what, actually it's Ketanji Brown Jackson who says, academics are all about being exposed to things that may make you feel uncomfortable. Even young people, right? There are ways of exposing them to things that are different, that they haven't heard about before. That's what academics are all about. That's what we miss. The case itself is Mahmoud versus Taylor coming out of Maryland. It has a dramatic change, not only upon the educational system, but also, frankly, aspects of civil rights and civil law generally in America.
Jim, I want your sense. Tell us what to do what we should do given our circumstance, the circumstance being a right-wing Supreme Court, a neo-fascist in the White House, those are my terms, a Congress deep in Republican hands and under the thrall of Donald Trump, this budget just passed, this horrible, huge, big, horrible bill. What do you give our listeners for hope on this?
Right. What do you do? That is the major question here. We'll do the easy but also very effective things. I think the protests are effective. They're sending messages that indeed this is not America, that there are people out there who are insisting on America that is in fact steeped in civil rights and understandings. I'm a big advocate, as you know well, Matt, for writing letters. Actually, postcards are great too. Calls are good too. But pick up an envelope and put a stamp in it. Write a letter and send a letter. Again, you may not hear back. You won't hear back from the Chief Justice or from a member of Congress necessarily. Maybe some members of Congress will call you back or be back in touch. But send them a note, a thoughtful note saying, this is what I'm thinking. You know, every so often that can have an impact. Here's the big one, Matt. And that is November 3rd of 2026. That's a long ways away. I know it's, 400 and some days yet. We've got 500 and some days before the 120th Congress is in place. You spend your time right now figuring out a way to take back the legislature, not only because of what it did today, but you take back a legislature. And it can be both Republicans and Democrats, but people who are thoughtful about ensuring that our president abides by that admonition, that direction to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. You can take back a House of Representatives. And yes, you can take back, it's a bigger lift, the United States Senate. And I'm not talking necessarily just about political lines and Republicans and Democrats. Get people in there who are going to be thoughtful about the ways in which they are deciding these matters. You got to advocate right now. Start now, not 8-10 months from now, right now. Find those candidates around the country that can give a majority in both houses to thoughtful people. Support them by doing what you can financially, doing what you can, even advocating for their candidacies. And that can start on this Independence Day tomorrow, 2025.
Very good advice from Jim Santel. Yes, write, call your legislator, certainly vote, get involved in the political system. And as Robert Craig, our prior guest, said, join an organization that's doing good work. On any issue that really concerns you, join one, whether it's the ACLU, environmental group, whatever it is, join an organization. I want to thank Jim Santel, Robert Craig, all the callers and texters. I want to thank Jacob, the producer, and Maggie Dawn for letting me behind the wheel today. And I hope everyone enjoys their July 4th. We're going to go out with Bruce Springsteen singing Woody Guthrie.
One Sunday morning in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw the people, and they were hungry, and they were wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, Yeah, this land was made for you and me.
It was Bruce Springsteen singing the old Woody Guthrie classic, This Land Is Your Land. It is your land. It's our land. Together, in community, we can save this land and save this democracy. Thanks so much for listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, and have a nice weekend.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he's celebrating passage of his huge tax and spending bill.
Biggest tax cut in history, great for security, great on the southern border. Immigration is covered. We cover just about everything.
He plans to sign the bill tomorrow. Some of those working at food kitchens to support needy families are worried about the bill and cuts to SNAP benefits. Jason Critchlow in Indiana.
I'm very concerned that there are populations of people in this community that are doomed.
Trump was also asked by reporters today about his phone call with Russian President Putin. He said he did not make any progress on ending the war in Ukraine. The first immigrant detainees arrived at a new detention center in the Florida Everglades today. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
This is civil immigration detention, so it is not supposed to be a punishment or punitive. It is only designed to hold people while they await detention and deportation.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.